So as we continue in this series, The Simple Life, I want to look this morning at a lesson entitled Cherish Now. How to cherish today. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. And look at the contrast that Solomon paints here. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. Sometimes as a mom and a dad, you feel that way with kids, right? A time to kill and a time, I'm just kidding. And a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Some husbands wonder, how does that work exactly in marriage? A time to keep silence. And a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And I want us from this passage to look at this idea of cherishing right now, understanding that now is pretty special. We understand that life has seasons. It has ups and downs. It has good days and bad days. It has things that happen that were expected and then things that totally blindside us out of nowhere. That's just part of life. And where we are right now in life and where maybe we want to go and where we have been, God has a purpose in all of that. Every season that God allows us to go through in life is part of His beautiful plan and purpose for our life. That applies if we know and are following Jesus. We oftentimes can kind of grab hold of our own life and take it into our own hands, and then we can see kind of a diversion from where and what God wanted us to do. So this morning, I want us to look at three simple truths about life seasons that will help you and I live a simple life. What do we need to understand about the life that we're living right now, specifically as it applies to today? Whatever it is you're going through, what do you need to know to cherish today? Too often, we're living in a moment where we wish it was like it used to be, or we want something else we don't have, and we just live a very frustrated, discontented life. And that's not God's plan for any one of us. This is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And whatever it is we're facing right now, as you sit in this room, you know what God wants you to be able to do today? Rejoice. Be glad in it. Be thankful. Sunday, August 5, 2018 in Lancaster, California. Rejoice and be glad in it. Enjoy where you are. Whatever that's happening, just seize the moment. Why? Because the day's going to be over. And when the day's going to be over, you'll never get it back. The 24 hours you're living right now, you got one shot to live that day in your life, and then it's gone. And the opportunity is over. And if we squander today because of something that already has happened or something we anticipate might happen, what a waste of the day. So how do we cherish now? What do we need to understand about the seasons in life we're going to go through? Three simple truths this morning. Let's dive in and look at them together. Number one, every season has its burdens. Every season has its burdens. Man, I came here this morning, Gabe, to be encouraged. Well, I hope you got a donut, all right? Because I'm not here to kill your joy, but I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't matter where you are in life. Every season has burdens. Man, I just wish I wasn't going through what I'm going through. And so-and-so over there looks better, and that life looks better, and what they've got going, that looks like what I want. Trust me, friend, every season has burdens. Every life has burdens. It's part of life. And again, not to be a killjoy, but to be realistic, to understand how it works, every season is going to have its burdens. And our contentment and fulfillment in life, or the lack thereof, is always a function of our expectations. You know why oftentimes we get discouraged and frustrated or depressed? It's because we expect something that doesn't happen. Well, then let's go through life with this realistic reality, okay? Every season has burdens. That's reality. Well, Pastor Gabe, I don't understand that. I'm a Christian. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The God of the universe lives inside of me. What do you mean every season's going to have burdens? Now, thank God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you're a Christian and you know Him as your Lord and heaven as your home. Thank God for that. You have the hope of an eternal home in heaven for all of eternity. No greater hope than that. That's awesome. I'm glad we share that together. But let's be reminded of something this morning. We're not in heaven right now, right? We're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. We're not in heaven yet. We're on earth. Who is the prince of power on the earth? Satan. Exactly. So we live on a planet that is sin-cursed. The prince of the power of Satan. Now, we're a Christian. We know God. Heaven's going to be our home. But that understanding of our reality is to say, we're not going to live a perfect life. Every day is not going to be a bed of roses and a leisure bed of ease. That's not reality. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. We're all going to go through some difficult times. Think about Job. Job was a man in the Old Testament who loved God. He was righteous. He eschewed evil. He was prosperous, wealthy, blessed. But what happened to Job? Job went through a season of testing. God allowed it. Satan carried it out, but lost his children, lost his wealth, lost his health, was criticized by the community. Even his wife got fed up with what was going on and said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? And he didn't. Thank the Lord for that. And God blessed him in a great way. But what does that illustrate to you and I? Well, there's a man that if he were a member of Lancaster Baptist Church, we would be talking in this class about, man, go see Job and ask him his opinion. You got a marriage problem, you got a problem with your kids, you got a problem with your finances, go ask Job. Man, he's a godly man. He's got it together. He's living a life of testimony. I mean, he'd be someone in our church that we would revere, not worship him, we're worshiping God, but he'd be someone that would be an example, let's put it that way, in our church, okay? That would be who Brother Job would be. And yet he went through that season. Why? Because there's a reality here in the Bible that we're learning and that every season has its burdens. And you and I set ourselves up for disappointment and complaint when we have these unrealistic expectations of God and His purposes. Like, well, listen, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I kind of thought I would just live a life where there were no more problems. Wrong. I just saw Angelo here, and Angelo texted me this week, called me, and I think it was Friday, right, Angelo? And said, man, pray for us. Maria was just in a bad accident, and we're taking her to the hospital and checking her out, making sure that's okay. And Tony sent me the picture of his accident, so don't ride with these guys. No, I'm teasing. And we had these accidents going on, and we had these people in the hospital, and we had this going on, and we know what that was? A week in the body life of His design. That's what it was. There's always stuff like that. Why? It's life. Things happen. Every season has its burden. It says if we have this unrealistic expectation that, well, I'm a Christian, nothing bad is ever going to happen to me, everything's going to be great, and if God's really God, then I'm never going to face a problem, we have a distorted view of reality. That's not true. Every season is going to have its burdens. And our disappointments are often the product of our viewing the Lord more as a concierge service than our Savior. We need to recognize who He is. He's not there to kind of work everything out for me the way that I want it. He's there as God. He's the creator of the universe. He's in control of my life. But listen, I'm going to face some dark times. I'm going to face some rough days. I'm going to go through some things that I would not choose. He's there to hold my hand. He's promised to never leave me nor forsake me. But it doesn't mean that I'm never going to face them. That's still part of life. It's the world you and I live in. And we don't have time to take the rabbit trail here philosophically for why. But let me give you a quick tidbit why. Why is that a reality? Can I give you my heart on it? Because I believe God wants you and I to go through the same hardships that all the unsaved are going through, but to handle it differently. to handle it better, to handle it more stable, and for people to look at us and to say, how does he get up in the morning and deal with the stuff that I'm dealing with, and he still has joy? He's got something I don't have. She has something I don't have. And that's exactly right, Jesus. And I think the reason God allows you and I to go through some things is because it's a testament to that we know Jesus Christ. Other people need him and desire him through the life in which we're living. I'll never forget, I don't have time for this either, but I was called to a hospital room and a family had just lost a loved one and they were calling for a pastor and they didn't go to church. And the hospital called and I said, sure, I'll go. And I drove down to the hospital. And as I was making my way up to the room in the stairwells of the hospital in the wing where this room was, there was people in the stairwells just weeping. There was a girl beating the wall. There was another girl just out of control. I walked in the room and the family, it literally was chaos. That one girl literally crawled up on the bed and was embracing this dead body, weeping. It was the most bizarre situation I've ever been in. It's crazy. And I was supposed to walk in as the pastor and bring calm to all of that. I mean, it was nuts. They don't teach you that in Bible college. I promise you that right now. But I've been in many rooms, Christian people in there, somebody getting ready to slip into eternity. And yes, there's sorrow. And there's tears and there's reminiscent. But there's a hint of joy there too. Like, hey, they're going to heaven. And we're thankful for that. And there's a calm and a peace that passeth all understanding. What a difference. Same tragedy, different response because of who they know. So we've got to be careful of our expectations. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Let's read that together. In the world ye shall have tribulation. The Bible says, hey, you're going to face some tough times, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Listen, you and I live a life that is filled with both blessings and burdens. We live a life that has good days and bad days and hardships and times of encouraging, and sometimes they're existing simultaneously. And we've got to recognize, hey, every season has its burdens. God's not forgotten me. He's not dead. His back's not turned to me. This is life. God is with me. He will see me through. Paul, from a prison cell in Rome, encouraging the believers in Corinth, said in 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Paul said, listen, I know what it is to go through the fire and feel encouraged at the same time, because he knew the Lord. He was full of sorrow, yet rejoicing. Sorrow and joy are not mutually exclusive. You can have both when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Lord who said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things will thou knowest not, also told us in the world you're going to have tribulation. So every season is going to have its burdens. And one of the things that we understand from Solomon's description of life is that we've got to expect hardship. If we are students of the Word of God, then a rough day should not blindside us. A problem should not throw us for a loop. We shouldn't get to the point where we have to have therapy and 10 medications in order to cope with life because it isn't going well. And I'm not trying to demean it for a minute. My name's Gabe. I'm your friend. I'm speaking the truth in love, all right? But a believer who knows the Bible and knows God recognizes, you know what? Life's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be fair. I'm going to face tough times, but I know God. Jesus is in me. He's still on the throne. The sun's going to raise tomorrow. It's going to be okay. And God's going to see me through. Every season has burdens. And this is such a powerful realization and really a life-changing reality. Because if we're not careful, the way we live life is we look back to how good it was. And we look forward to how good it will be. And inevitably, we always look at where we are and we think it stinks. It's never like it used to be. I mean, you get around people and they talk about the way it used to be and you're like, you know, okay, you're lying, but it sounds good. Keep going, you know. I mean, it's just, it's always good, you know, or what it will be someday. But sometimes we're not enjoying the moment of how good God truly is right now. And so one of the key to living the simple life is to expect and embrace burdens. They're a part of every season of life. And our life can change dramatically for the good if we will apply this one decision. God, I understand every season has a burden. I get it. And I trust you. And I'm going to follow you and trust in what you're doing. And I'm not going to resist a moment of hardship. I'm not going to question whether or not you're really God. I'm just going to embrace it as your gift. It must be a part of your plan for my life. That is to deepen my influence for the cause of Christ. Friend, God may allow you to go through something you don't want to go through. But God may, through that, give you a platform you never had. I just saw Chris Sanchez back here. I pray for Chris every day for his health. Can I just encourage you this morning, friend? If you got a trial, stand on the platform of that trial and declare God to be God. Every season has a burden, but God has allowed it. So let's embrace that burden and say, God, you're still God. You've given me this trial. You've given me this hardship, but let me through it to declare who you are. I want to show you to be faithful and to be who you said you would be. And God will see us through that season. But we have the expectation every season has a burden. But number two, every season has its beauty. Now, in our text we read in Ecclesiastes 3, you see the mention of burdens and blessings, a time to pluck and a time to plant, a time to embrace and a time to withhold from embracing. And so there's this balance, there's this back and forth tension. Every season has a burden, but it also has a beauty to it, a blessing. And right now I want to encourage you in your life, there's a special thing. I don't know every trial in this room for sure. Many of them I do. But I want to encourage you, even if you're going through a time of trial and testing right now, there's still a beautiful blessing to be had in the midst of that, in fact. So sometimes we go through life and something's happening we don't like. So you know what we see? That. And that's all we see. It's like the guy who got the Lumberg cheese stuck in the mustache, you know, and it just started rotting and stinking. And everywhere the guy went, everything stunk. You know, and it wasn't that everything stunk, it was that the guy had some food in his mustache rotting and it stunk. So he had a distorted view of reality. Everywhere he went, it stunk. Well, it wasn't everywhere, the problem was with him. It's like the old adage, if Bob has a problem with everybody, the problem is probably with Bob. Okay? That's Ruleology 101. But what is the lesson? The lesson is every season has burdens, but every season has blessings. May we be careful, cautious, in the midst of a time where it's not going the way we thought, to miss the blessings that are there as well. Carlos and Zena, I just saw them back here, and I think of their son with his difficulty with his foot, and we pray for them frequently as well. I prayed for them this morning. And I don't know why God allowed that. That's been a difficult season for them. That's been a trial. It's not been something that's been understood. But can I just encourage you, friend? In the midst of every trial and every trouble and every burden and every reality, there's a blessing. And you know what Satan wants? He doesn't want you to see the blessing. He wants you so focused on the burden that you miss what God is truly doing. I'll use them for an illustration because I think God's given them grace in this. But if Carlos and Zena wanted to, they could be so focused on their son and his difficulty. And that could be their entire focus. And they could miss the fact altogether that God gave them a son. In every burden, there's a blessing. It's the way you look at life. And Solomon is saying, you know what I've learned in life? In every burden, there's a blessing. After every storm, there's a rainbow. There's silver lining in everything. And I've had to learn how to see it, but it's always been there. Every season has its beauty, and we want to trust in the Lord. I'm going to hasten for sake of time. I love the challenge in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But then thirdly, notice this, that every season has a better path. Now, what is God teaching and showing Solomon? Look at it in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, that no man can find out the work of God that maketh from the beginning to the end. What is Solomon saying? Solomon is saying, I look at the bad and I look at the good. I look at the burdens and I look at the blessing. But you know what Solomon said? What really helped me understand all of that was eternity. Solomon now is kind of lifting through the clouds of all the complexities of life, and he's looking at it through the prism and lens of eternity, saying, you know what? It makes a lot more sense when you can see it from that perspective. Life is just a shadow of what's to come after. What is eternal? It talks about what is written in our heart. And Solomon said, I can understand the burdens and the blessings. I can get through the life that God has given me when I understand the sovereignty of God, when I know that God is in authority, when I know that God has power to save, when I know that God will never leave me nor forsake me, then I can make it through whatever that is because I know He is there to go with me. And obviously that begins with having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray that all of us have that and know Him personally. And then, as we know Him, to learn in the midst of His sovereignty to cherish today. Don't miss the blessings of today because of the sorrow of yesterday. Don't miss what God wants to do today because of your anticipation of tomorrow. Cherish today. Cherish now. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Friend, you and I cannot resist the seasons of life. A farmer has to go through every season. It's the way it is. Man, I love spring. Yep, you got to get through winter first. Man, but I love fall and the cut. It's awesome. Yep, you got to get through summer. The seasons of life are coming whether you and I like them or not. We might as well just decide we're going to like them. We're just going to cherish when it's 115 or when it's 15. When it's a beautiful perfect day, whatever that means to you, or when you get out of the car and the wind blows you into the house, you know, whatever. We're just going to decide, it's great. It's what God has today. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to learn to cherish now. How can we do that? Can I give this to you very quickly as we close? The source of my disappointment. You've got to understand that discontentment flows from a scrambling heart that truly is trying to fulfill life their own way and not trusting in God. Can I encourage you this morning, if you're disappointed, if you're discontented, if you're discouraged or depressed, can I encourage you to trust in God? Trust in God. God is still God. Claim the promise in Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Can I ask you a question this morning, class? Who are you trusting in? Is your trust in God? Because if your trust is in God, then what can sway that? Right? I mean, if your trust is in God, who is God? I mean, He spoke the world into being. He can do anything. He can handle anything. He has all the wisdom, all the resources. Nothing is impossible with God. So if we trust God, then what's going to move us? What's going to get us so discouraged we can't function if we're really trusting God? But sometimes the source of that disappointment and discouragement and depression and frustration that we're going through is nothing more than we were trying to handle it and we're not doing a good job. And so now we're more frustrated and discouraged and depressed because we tried to fix something we weren't able to fix in the first place. So now we're frustrated with the problem and with ourselves. And I think God in heaven sometimes looks down and says, hey, I'd like to help. Trust in me. Let me help you. And I can see you through whatever you're going through. The source of my disappointment is often myself taking it into my own hands. I begin to despise the season. I hate the life that I'm living. And then Satan comes and he offers me a shortcut. If I work every Sunday, I'll make all the money and then we'll get the house and then we'll drive the car and then we'll have this and then everything will be better. And Satan comes along in a moment of disappointment, and here's these shortcuts that he's offering. And if we'll take that temptation that he's providing and we go that direction, we think it'll make everything better, when in reality it's going to make it worse. So we've got to, in a moment of burden, to really look at the heart and say, am I trusting God? Do I believe that God is God? Am I willing to follow Him no matter what? And can I tell you this? Whenever we find ourselves complaining about life, that's usually a good sign we're not trusting God. Because we don't like our life. We don't like what's happening. And so we want to complain about it. And that's usually an outward manifestation of a heart that doesn't trust God. What's the one thing Job would not do? Complain or criticize God. Even his wife said, Job, just curse God and die. Get this thing over with, man. And that's the one thing he wouldn't touch. I'm not going to speak of God in that way. Job was steadfast. God is God. I can trust Him. He knows what He's doing. He will see me through. Let's have that kind of faith. And that will help us through this kind of disappointment. Contentment is a choice. When you and I praise, we progress. But when we complain, we flounder. And I just want to encourage you. Choose to have contentment. Choose to praise God no matter what. You say, but you don't know what I'm going through. And I may not, and I'm sorry, and I love you, and I hurt for you. But can I encourage you this morning? Everyone in this room can find something to praise God for. Everyone. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now what gets us through that? Lastly, letter B, every soul has its Savior. Solomon goes on to talk about the justice system in Ecclesiastes 3, how it let him down, the structures of this world took the hope away. Basically, he said, I looked in everything for hope and stability, and I could not find it. It wasn't until he turned his trust to God that God gave him a peace that passeth all understanding. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I breathe some hope into you this morning? Trust God. Every season has burdens. You say, right now I'm on a mountaintop. Great. Valley's around the corner. Man, right now I'm in a valley. Good. Mountaintop right around the corner. Every season has burdens. Every season has blessings. That's called life. So how does somebody navigating that have joy? What's the better path? Embracing the fact that God's going to let me face some tough times. Trusting in God no matter what. Rejoicing in today no matter what it may hold, because we know the God who holds the day. And determining that if God gives me a trial, of a platform of a trial, that I'm not going to hide underneath it. I'm going to stand on top of it and use it for the honor and glory of the Lord. And declare Him to be God, no matter what He allows me to go through. When you and I know Jesus Christ is our Savior, when we place our faith and trust in Him, when we embrace every season and we strive to enjoy every season, we begin to see the blessings in the midst of the burdens, and we see in light of eternity that God has a will and purpose for everything. So can I encourage you this week? Make decision number two. Choose to cherish today. By the grace of God. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. And I'm not making light of it. My heart breaks. I love you, and I'm praying for you. But can I encourage you this morning? Embrace today. Cherish now. Rejoice in the day that God has given you. And no matter what it may hold, even if it's difficult, then may it through you point people to Jesus Christ. Because you have learned to embrace the beauty of the burden, the blessing that goes with a season such as that. And I look forward to continuing this series next week as we look at creating secret space. You say, what in the world is that all about? I don't have time to tell you, so we're going to have to do it next Sunday. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for your precious word and the opportunity to gather together as a class. Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive and to take today's lesson. How do we cherish now? Lord, I know there are many burdens in the room. I know that there are many things we don't understand, but help us to trust you and help us to see in every burden there's a blessing. And may our hope be built on Jesus Christ. And may the way we embrace even a hardship in life point people to Jesus. I pray your special grace in every life, marriage, and family in this room. Help all of us today to make the decision, I'm going to cherish now. I'm going to enjoy today by the grace of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to practice that this week. Then bring us back next Sunday as we continue in this new series, The Simple Life. We love you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.